We bought that action.
The place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
Did you ever think that you would be in this position right now where your daughter would have some way lose her life?
I didn't want to believe it. All the times I called, sometimes the phone would ring and ring and ring for days. I didn't want to know that she had successfully committed suicide.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we're staying in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out of our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. Like, they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the line, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism. Good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Yam, yam, pam, 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 jam, jam.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, wow.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big ups, big ups, big ups to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning all day, that's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
How?
My son was just hollering,
awesome.
We're Tori. Like,
tell Tony, all aboard, it's okay to jump on the love train.
I'm not jumping on the love train.
We might got a couple seats left.
Listen, he ain't going to be it. Jordan Love will not be the starter in 5 years.
Trash. That's a trash.
That's just my
take. See, now you're trying to string it out.
I know that ain't who I think it is.
Well, I'll need some apologies from the staff of 101.7.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I think the line's messing up. Hey, Eddie. I guess something happened with
Eddie. Boy.
And they have an agenda. And the agenda is a satanic one. I don't know why people don't talk about it. You can't talk.
Yo! They just zapped you.
I want to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, they cool, they calm.
Now, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up. It's Tori Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah,
Tory Lowe from 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, let's go. We bout that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue, and I'm here for the action,
and I'm but that action,
and I want all the smoke.
Who wants to smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front line. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How you doing, DJ Brother Z?
It's Friday.
And how y'all doing out there in Radio Land? Truth Nation, thank you for joining me. Joining me this May 9th, 2025. We got another powerful show for you today. So I'm going to need y'all to open up your ears, okay? Hey, look, we got a powerful guest. We got a powerful guest today. If y'all watching live, we got Promise. Y'all know Promise. Promise, radio personality, comedian. First, throwing out the first pitch at the Brewers game.
Yes, sir.
Bucks in-game show host.
Yes, sir.
Did I miss anything? I mean,
man, I'm community advocate,
everything. What I mean,
vice president of New State nonprofit.
Yeah, vice president of New State. What are you doing?
A taxpaying citizen.
A brother.
That facts. A son. A friend.
We got Promise in studio. He's gonna be hanging out with your boy this Friday. And I'll tell you this, your journey, Promise.
Yeah.
Your journey through radio, comedy,
yeah,
community.
For sure.
It's extensive.
Thank you.
It's powerful.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks. I'm happy to have you on the show today.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you, brother.
Now, give us like a timeline, because you have a dope timeline when it comes to broadcasting.
Sure.
And then you evolved into comedy.
Yeah.
Give me the timeline.
Okay, so most people would know me from my years in radio. So professionally, I did radio for 8 years. So from 2016 to 2024.
Damn!
I did radio professionally. So, yeah, worked at a couple of different stations, other stations in the city that people, you know, were familiar with. That's really how I got my start in radio. But then from radio, I started emceeing and hosting, you know, concerts, events, and things like that. And comedy, believe it or not, was not something I ever thought about doing. Mm-hmm. I had no aspirations, no passion, no dreams for it. Just always been a naturally silly dude. You know how it is when you're in school, cracking jokes, you in the neighborhood with your homies, your friends. Just always been a naturally silly person, especially with ladies making females laugh, stuff like that. But shout out to the homie Marlon Hill, who was a Milwaukee legend with comedy. He saw something in me when I was younger, and he really was pushing for me, like, yo, I think you could do comedy. And I'm just like, nah, man, I just be messing around. Like, I have no idea how to write a joke. I'm just doing my thing. I used to host some of his shows for him, comedy shows. So that's how I first got my little taste of stand-up, just hosting comedy shows. Again, not knowing how to do a set, not knowing how to do jokes. But, man, like in the fall of 2022 is when I actually started doing comedy seriously. So I'm almost 3 years in being a stand-up comedian. So that's where that journey has transitioned to.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I've watched, because I've been advocating 15 years and never took a break, so I'm watching everything.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing moving out here that I don't see. But I remember when I first came back home in 2010, I got out in 2011 and really started moving around. And at Juneteenth, I think it was like, you was doing rap.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you rapping.
Yeah, I used to do, yeah, absolutely. Like, radio, so back then when you used to see me at Juneteenth, I used to host the stages down there at Juneteenth. Yeah, I used to host the stages. And then, before I got into radio for real, absolutely, I used to rap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I've been out here for a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
As a young boy, I've been out here for a minute.
As my journey continued, I also saw you grow.
For sure.
And what's powerful about it is you've always
kept it moving, even though, because people don't understand, radio is a tough industry.
Oh, absolutely. I've been hit with many bricks in radio.
So you started out as, it was a music station.
Yeah, so truthfully, when I started, I was an intern when I first got into radio. I was an intern. And obviously, I'm going to respect y'all station, so I won't mention names. But when I first started, I was an intern on a hip-hop and an R&B and a throwback station.
Okay.
So that's how I first got my feet wet, just being an intern, man, going and picking up, you know, artists from the airport, hanging up banners, posters.
Doing the grind.
Know. Yeah, absolutely. As a teenager, you know.
Promotion.
Juneteenth was my first event ever in radio.
Oh, wow.
I drove our vehicle, the station vehicle, in the Juneteenth parade. You know what I mean? Like, that was one of my first jobs in radio.
You was on the street team.
Man, absolutely. I was out here thugging on the street team.
Right.
But I did radio in college. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I got an interest in radio. I was in school doing radio and not understanding how the real radio world works. So after I get my degree, I'm thinking like, oh, it's about to be popping. I'm going to get a real job. And they're like, hell no. Like,
oh, wow.
It don't work like that. Nah. So I grind, like you said, so when I say I really grinded and was out here working hard, you know, for years to just even try to get a look and get in position, it was a struggle, but it was something that I became passionate about. I wanted to see it through. And, you know, I went from being a teenager as an intern to this past year, you know, I was running a radio station and having my own morning show. So to see that journey and the evolution, and it's been a blessing, you know what I'm saying? Throughout all the ups and downs, getting a chance to interview a ton of different people, host a ton of different events, getting to open up for people, everything.
I also want to add, because, you know, I'm trying to stay within this timeline.
Yeah.
You was at, when I started, because I used to do music.
Absolutely.
And then,
if they don't know.
I mean, I was definitely an artist. I think most creatives, music is a part of our journey.
Sure.
But you played my first song on Heat from the Street.
Yeah. I played a lot of people's records.
Right. So you used to actually.
But I played your music too,
promote artists.
Yeah.
In your formats as well.
Absolutely.
Why was that important?
Well, to me, Milwaukee has always been one of those cities I feel like that is a big little city. You know what I mean? Milwaukee has a lot to offer, and it just doesn't always get the acknowledgement or recognition that it should. Sometimes from within its own city. You know what I mean? I think when you live in a town, you don't always appreciate where you live. Sometimes I think you need to be a visitor or a sightseer in your own city. Because when you go to another city, you appreciate things because you're not from there. So sometimes when you live in somewhere, you don't always appreciate what's around you. So for me, you know, getting into radio, I knew what it was like when I was a kid listening to the radio and feeling like people didn't maybe get the looks or they should or whatever. So when I got the keys, I said, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I open up the platform. And again, it wasn't about a bias. I used to tell people, like, it don't matter if I like your music or not. Are you following the rules? Is it radio edited? Is it mixed well? Is it professional? You know what I mean?
Let the people decide.
Let the people decide. But also, too, I just wanted to show that we had a diverse music scene, and it wasn't in a box. That's why I played a person like yourself. Somebody else might have a trap record.
For No Justice, No Peace, too.
So I just always wanted to just showcase different sounds and styles in Milwaukee, and everybody didn't sound the same. So my job was to try to use my platform to showcase different sounds and styles. I felt like a lot of radio and a lot of people in the city who were in positions of power only pushed one type of artist or one type of style.
Right.
And I wanted to let people know it's all different sounds in Milwaukee, and you choose what you like or what you don't like.
And did that come from you being an artist and not having that kind of support?
Not necessarily, because that segment, Heat from the Street, existed before me, right?
I'm talking about, like, the fact that you had that open mind frame.
Oh, yeah. Just
as an artist coming up, you may not have sound, but you like, hey, it's a lot of sounds out here.
Well,
because I do it too.
Yeah.
I bring in everybody. We had a Milwaukee country western person come in here. We got low end. We got R&B. Milwaukee has a diverse sound.
Yes.
And this is where I say we have to jump behind our own so we can create the atmosphere so we can have that music, renaissance.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing it a little bit with TikTok, where artists just, she's a fairy, you know.
Yeah, Maya P out here popping right now.
Steve the Stoner, JP or Big Frank, or, you know, they're making their waves on social media.
Well, it's a different era now, right? Like, you don't have to rely, and not to knock radio, because obviously we're in radio, but you don't have to rely on radio anymore to break records, right? Yeah. You don't have to rely so much on DJs in the clubs to break records or mixtapes in the streets. If you, depending on what your lane is, you can get something popping on social media. Mm-hmm. But also you have to understand that that's a time period as well. People's attention spans are very short. So what are you going to do, and how can you capitalize when you do get those looks?
Because every other week, you might be hot for a week, and next week it's
somebody else
that went.
Yeah.
And took that algorithm.
And you just got to know what are you trying to get out of it? What do you want, you know, from it? So like you said, when I was in those platforms, I just knew I wanted to give people a space to get their music heard. So yeah, first, I'm a fan of music first. Mm-hmm. So of course I wanted to help continue it. But when I created my own situation, which was Hometown Heat, we made it apparent to showcase 5 independent artists from the city every month, you know, and we try to mix it up and give everybody those looks to put them in rotation to get them some opportunity. So I care about the music scene. I care about the artists. And sometimes it can be frustrating because, you know, you want different things from artists. You don't want people to just keep making certain type of records. You want people to expand and grow. But at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, this y'all music, this y'all art, whether I agree with it or not, just as long as you can follow these guidelines and do what's needed to do, I'm going to do my job to try to put it, you know, out there and give you a chance to be heard. But I do sometimes wish that we would create better art. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell anybody what to do their art, whether it's film, whether it's like me doing stand up or music. You can do whatever art you want to do. But sometimes I just wish that we would have more options when it comes to the art that is being pushed out there.
Hey, like I said, I appreciate you for coming on the show today, because you are a visible presence in the Milwaukee scene as far as music, as far as being able to, and you touchable. A lot of people was able to touch you. A lot of people get in a space where they have their own ideas out there, and it's hard to get to them.
Yeah, they ain't approachable. I'm very approachable.
Right.
And everybody can't have access to me, but I'm definitely an approachable person.
If they made some efforts, they could get
you. Yeah, I ain't hard to find.
Because I ain't hard to find. I mean, that, you know, like I said, a lot of times people think, okay, this person is doing this and it's going to be hard to get.
Yeah.
But I think that our generation, as far as broadcasters, we're way more accessible.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different
era. It's a different vibration.
Absolutely. And like you said, we part of this new social media era as well. So people know what you look like now from working in radio. Back in the day, you wouldn't even know what radio personalities look like. Facts.
Yeah, we on YouTube right now. They looking at you right now.
Right. Everybody like, you shorter. I thought you was tall. Like, nah, man, I'm little, dude.
Oh, wow. Hey, look, when we come back, we got Promise in the studio this Friday. I want to talk about your journey as a black broadcaster.
Sure.
Because I started to see, I remember one time we had a talk at Juneteenth. I was like, you know, we need to get all of the black broadcasters together and have a conversation about what's going on. And I felt that it was a large group of us, but it's a rare group of us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that when we get back.
Absolutely.
All right, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you.
Hey, let's take these to school. Hey, Mr. Glock be the name. If I make my own rules, don't give a f about no fame. Hey, you gon' win, you gon' lose. That's just a part of the game. I got a lot on my chest. I got a lot on my plate. Money do not hear the
101, 7 the truth. Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We got a guest. We got my co-host for today. Promise.
Yes, sir.
It's not a threat.
It's a promise.
It's a promise.
It is.
In studio today. How you doing, Promise?
I'm good, my brother. Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor to be here.
Hey, look, I love it because they don't understand. A lot of people don't, when you talk about broadcasting and being on the radio and things like that, your journey.
Yeah.
The steps that you had to take to get to where you at. A lot of people think that that happened overnight when they see it the finished product.
Right. Yeah, they don't understand, like, it's a journey, and it's not an easy one either, you know, to try to do media in general is difficult. But like you said, when you're a black male, black female in Milwaukee or a minority in general, you can get put in boxes and you right. can a lot of times have people not want to give you opportunities or try to stunt your growth. And I dealt with that very early on when I got into radio. I definitely experienced, you know, if I really think about it, like some forms of prejudice or some forms of, mm-hmm. you know, being stereotyped. I remember one of the wackest things somebody told me at the time. I had a program director when I first was in radio. And I remember one time he told me, yeah, man, you know, you just kind of sound like a rapper, you know, when you're on the radio. And I'm like, what that mean?
What do you mean by that?
Exactly. Drewski. Like, what are you talking about? Like, so I said, so we're playing these records. And you're telling me that this white audience that enjoys these artists and this music can't understand me speaking to them? They know the music and they know these artists. So they know Chris Brown, they know 2 Chainz, they know Rihanna. And
they know the words to Twister.
All these artists. But I'm like, you tell them, because at the time I was on a top 40 station. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult in that sense because minorities don't really get an opportunity to be on top 40 stations. You typically would put us on Black Talk.
Urban.
Hip-hop, R&B, urban. Right. So that was even an anomaly, me being on that format. So I dealt with a lot of nonsense when I was over there, mm-hmm. just trying to fight, just to have my voice heard, I remember that's when I was probably the most insecure with myself, right? If I listen back, anybody who knows anything about radio, you know, you got your air checks. If I go back and listen to that old audio, I cringe, bro, because I allowed that person at that time to get me out of my body. So I didn't sound like myself. I was trying to change my tone and my pitch. Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, brothers?
We're live. It wasn't me, bro.
Right.
Absolutely. Man, it was beyond that. I was just so uncomfortable to where I'm like, okay, I need to talk faster. I need to do this. I need to do that.
They were shaking your confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a blessing in disguise, though, because that taught me patience. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in that office having those uncomfortable conversations with that program director. And I remember him saying, you take criticism really well, man. Like, you good? You straight? I said, man, I'm good. Because I realized if I jump across that table
right.
and get him the business or react, you know, it's not going to work that way. You know what I'm saying? And I ended up outlasting him in radio anyway.
Right.
You know, so I look back and I'm just like, wow, imagine if I would have allowed that person to break me in that moment, dealing with those type of adversities as a young black male trying to just do radio.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like I said, I mean, when you talk about just having to have the power of having a microphone in front of you.
Yeah.
And then influencing a community. I say everybody can get a podcast.
Sure.
But very few people in life will have their own radio show. So when you get into the radio show idea and the broader aspect of the communities, a lot of people, they start listening and watching, you know.
Yeah.
You're definitely under a different microscope.
For sure.
And I said this when I got into radio. I just wanted to do it my way.
Right.
Or it wouldn't even be worth me even doing it.
For sure.
I'm an advocate. I have my thoughts. I'm an eyewitness to a lot of stuff. I'm going to say what I see.
Sure.
And if that bothers you, this ain't the right thing to do.
Right. I agree. I mean, like, in my last situation that I was at before that went in the toilet, when I first got that opportunity, they approached me. I told them straight up. I said, man, I'm gonna apologize before I ask for permission. Mm-hmm. I told him that off the jump because at that point I had been through all the different ups and downs in radio. So I said, at this point where I am in my career, like, I'm going to be myself. And if you're going to pay me to be me, we good. But if you want me to conform or do something that I'm not comfortable doing, like, I'm not the person for you. And, you know, I was able to do that morning show, you know, for 4 years and tap into a whole different audience because people gotta understand day parts are different, you know, afternoon drive, morning show, late mm-hmm. nights. Like, I've done all different time frames and it's a different audience who you're speaking to. And when you have that microphone in that morning time, especially being local in the city,
you gotta wake people up.
Man, listen, there's a lot of syndicated shows in around the country and in Milwaukee. So for me to have a local morning show that was produced right here in the crib, I wasn't in New York, I wasn't in LA, I wasn't in Houston, I was at the crib every morning. You know, touching the people, talking to the people, interacting with them. And of course, it's an entertainment value. I'm cracking jokes. I'm playing music. We having fun.
Right.
But I'm not Tory Lowe. But when I had to go in that bag and speak about things that were disturbing the community
or talking
about tragedies or or have people on the show to talk about different things going on, community things. Like, I was able to show a balance, you know what I mean? And it was amazing to have that connection with the audience.
But you always had that connection with the community, period.
Like, yeah, that's just who I am as a person.
You was always just in the middle of just what was going on in the community. Not, you didn't waste a lot of your time in one area. You always like to move around. I noticed that you was out there, you know, you went from what I seen rapping at first to being a broadcaster, to being, having your own morning show, to also doing the Bucks, the Brewers, you know, being a part of those atmospheres. Yeah. I mean, you really entrench yourself in the culture.
For sure.
You stay Milwaukee'd up. Like,
I do.
You know, some people wear, you know, they living in Milwaukee, but they'll have a San Francisco 49er jersey on. You know what I mean? I don't do that. Like, I stay hometown.
No, but I'm from the city through and through. But I always try to tell people too, like, I'm from the city, but I'm not of the city. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Go right ahead.
Like, I don't subscribe to the nonsense and the foolishness and the BS that come with it. Mm-hmm. Like, Milwaukee is a beautiful, ugly city, bro. We can sit here and talk about all of it. And I listen to your show. I've listened to Kyle. I listened to The Truth before. There's a lot of problems and issues within our city as far as the Black community, as far as what we deal with
politics,
as far as politics, the segregation, the racism. We know it's a lot of foo-foo. But then also there's a lot of diamonds in the rough. There's a lot of dope stuff in the city. There's a lot of amazing people in the city. And there's a lot of talent in the city. So I don't want to get caught up in one over the other. I try to find a balance and not be naive and dumb to what's going on in my city, but also not sitting here highlighting and focusing on all the bad things. Because to me, then you miss the opportunities to highlight all the amazing things and people that are in this city.
Well, I say this, I got 3 hours. I'm talking about everything that come through this door.
Yeah.
And sometimes it ain't good.
Facts.
And sometimes it ain't bad. But I'm here.
Yeah.
And whatever's happening is what I'm going to be. Like, I don't care. I don't have no what I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I come in this door with about 20 different issues to talk about. And depending on what day it is, that's what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to makeshift any idea.
Yeah.
I'm from a city where it is what it is. And like I said, I never tried to forge anything. I just walk in. I can walk in with what I got in my phone. I can have a 3-hour show.
For sure. All the people who reach out to you who need help and assistance.
So I think that the resource idea is the most important.
Yeah.
And I think that many times with people, when I was coming up, people would hide the dark side of the city. Like, they wouldn't want to talk about that. They'd be like, they would try to hide it. No, before I got on the air, it was hidden. You know, that's why social media was a big part of my journey.
For sure.
I was putting it on social media.
Putting it on live.
Yeah, so the radio stations, the Black radio stations would not have me on. You know, Sherwin, he was at another station at the time.
Me and I both.
Right, and then we did the illegal strip searching with the police officers.
Yeah.
But when it got extreme, nobody would cover those stories. But I noticed that when I was posting it on social media, guess who would try to cover those stories? The white media.
Yeah.
So the white media would come and do the stories and get the attention.
After you had put the work in.
After I put the work in. But then the Black reporters, the Black radio stations, they would not touch those stories.
Right.
But then somebody that was white, that was working in the same station, would come and get it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was just on the phone with this Black reporter who said, well, I don't know if I can do that. And then 10 minutes later, the white person
is broadcasting it.
Is coming to get it.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, okay, these Black broadcasters and journalists gotta be in a box. Because why are their co-workers able to come do the same story I pitched to them?
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm coming in and I'm gonna take a boulder constructor and just hit the side of the building.
Yeah.
Why? Because we need our resources. And if people don't know what's happening,
we can't create change.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's just one of those things that I saw with the Black media, that if you got outside this box, you was a problem.
Yeah.
And it ain't a threat.
You know the rest. Bruh.
Okay. Hey, but look, when we come back, I want you to join me for the pop culture report.
I'm with you. Whatever you need me to do.
Hey, look, we're going to have a pop culture report when we get back. Truth Nation! Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Seven the Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, Pop Culture Report, brought to you by Big Jimmy.
It is amazing.
And we got Promise, broadcaster, artist, comedian, Milwaukee native in studio. What's happening then?
What is happening, man? You know what? I'm sitting across the table right now, the desk right now, my player partner, Promise. Somebody in, you know, radio, somebody in life, honestly, I wouldn't be who I am today without.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, for real.
Appreciate that, man.
You know what it is, bro. When I even met Promise, I was street team person over at, you know, iHeart. You know, I was trying to get it in.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to find my way. You know, and a lot of times I would go in the back rooms and them studios and consult Promise on various different things. Whether it was, hey, how do I get bigger, you know, as a person? How do I even get on radio? You know, Promise was always that big brother for me that I could lean on and he would give me guidance to. So I want to, you know, first give you a flowers in that sense, Promise.
Thank you,
but
bro.
Then I also want to ask you, throughout your whole entire career, because your career is still going, what has been your favorite moment, bro, inside your whole career path?
Man, that's a loaded question. My favorite moment in radio?
Yeah, just favorite moment in radio. Interviewing Lil Baby, is it, you know?
As far as interviews.
Interviewing Maya?
Yeah, I would probably say, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Childhood crush.
Uh-huh.
Bill
Bellamy.
Yeah, I would probably say probably Ice Cube is probably one of my favorite memories. Yeah, interviewing.
I'm trying
Q.
to get Q.
Yeah, we came for the big three.
Yeah, interviewing Q was probably big because I got a chance to make Cube laugh.
Gotcha.
And you know, Cube has his mentality, his personality is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't to be played with. Yeah. But I remember asking him in the interview, when was the last time he got mad? And he laughed, and he was like, "Yesterday," and I was like, "Yay, yay!"
Yeah.
But, That was an epic moment. But yeah, just it's been a lot of people, man. Even I remember interviewing Chris Rock was a big one.
Mm.
Getting a chance to talk to Chris was big.
This is before or after the slap?
This is pre-slap. Oh. This is pre-slap. Oh,
wow. That's messed up. We got to identify Chris like that, though, right?
No, I said BS, or was it before slap or AS?
Oh, wow.
No, that was before the slap. Mm-hmm. Interviewing Stephen A. Smith was a milestone for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest, bro. Beyond the interviews with the celebrities and the artists and all that stuff, what was the most special to me was connecting with the people.
Gotcha.
To be honest, man. Mm-hmm. Like going to schools and talking to kids, or, you know, being out here in the Juneteenth parade, right, throwing out candy. And,
wait, hold on. Yeah. You just brought a realization to me that I wasn't even thinking of, fam. Because y'all know Truth Nation, we about to do the Juneteenth parade next month.
Yep.
Next month, June 19th.
Man.
And the thing is,
it's
right around the corner. It's literally in a few weeks. Bro, every year I'd always see Promise come on the hoverboard.
Yeah.
Okay, Promise going to come with the hoverboard, and he going to be getting it cracking. Him and DJ GA.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to still come out there. I don't care, bro.
No, I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to figure. I told him like a couple weeks ago, I said, bro, we can't mess up the tradition.
Nah.
I said, we got to find a way to get in the parade this year.
Man,
but like,
bro.
I said, but stuff like that, bro, like,
right,
the celebrity,
you can come with us.
Absolutely.
The
celebrity stuff
slide
is
with
fun,
us.
But but being out there with the people, bro,
right,
when I got a chance to meet people and they told me I was on my way to work listening with my kids and you make us laugh or you inform us or whatever, like, that to me, that means the most, honestly, the connection I was able to build with the city. Man, it's not a week that go by, I'm not lying to y'all, every week is somebody who come up to me and ask me what happened to my show, what happened to that station, or what's going on while I'm not on the air anymore. So to me, that means the most, bro, that I was able to build a rapport with Milwaukee over these past, like I said, 8 years, man, just working in radio, working in media in general. Even when I came to y'all building today, there's a young man I met in the lobby who was like, man, didn't you do radio, man? Is your name Promise? I said, yeah, man, that's me. So just the fact that I was able to build some notoriety in the city and have a connection with our people and even beyond our people, you know what I mean? It's that's what's dope.
Can
to
you
me.
Tell where people met you at by what they say, where they heard you from?
Yeah.
Like if they heard you from the earlier days or they heard you from one station?
Yeah.
Like they, what era?
Yeah, for sure. Because there's some people who only know me from the past situation I was in.
Right.
Some people, like you said, they don't know your journey. They only see where you was at.
Right. So
some people only know me for having the morning show.
Right.
Then you have some people like Ben who... Mm-hmm. They remember me when I was in that era, right?
And
then,
I know you from Heat from the Street and you, being
right,
doing that, putting on when I made No Justice, No Peace. You came to the video shoot.
Yeah. Shout out to Payday, man.
Payday.
Shout out to DJ Payday.
That's our joint friend, right?
Yeah, man.
Payday is one of those people, man. And the thing is, now we reflect back after all of that time.
Yeah.
And we right here still progressing, still elevating. That's how you know it's real, when you see friends that are continuing to make progress.
Yeah.
Right.
And to me, it's just, I look at it like this, man. You don't always get to determine how things are going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I can control is Promise.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always just try to put in the work and be the best version of myself. And I don't necessarily get to control how a person knows me to remember me. I just want to try to do enough with
impact.
My legacy. Yeah, because I'm going to be honest with y'all. If I go tomorrow, you know, I don't want anybody just to remember me as the guy from the radio. If that's the case, then I feel like I failed. Sure, I was on the radio. Sure, I made you laugh. Sure, I maybe had gave you some conversation that made you think. I interviewed some of your favorite celebrities. But beyond that, and I'm a stand-up comedian, like you said, but I'm somebody's son. I'm somebody's friend. I hope that people think that I was a good person, better than anything I've ever done. You know what I mean? Like, entertainment is great, but I want to continue to keep working. And I think things sometimes have for a reason. Maybe radio chapter for me is done because maybe that did put me in a box, even though radio was great and I love it. But also there's a lot of people who will only know me from radio, right? So that allows me to move into another space. Now you got people who only know me from the Bucks. Some of those people have no idea I'm a radio personality. So they go, oh, you're the guy from the Bucks. They don't know
my
radio.
You're just affecting the community in all different ways. And I do it too, because some people call me Troy. I could tell by the name that they call me where they met me.
Yeah, right. But then there's some people now who only know me as a comedian, right?
Yeah.
They might be like, we don't know anything about you.
It was at the improv.
Exactly, right? So all I'm saying is that all these different facets, it's still me.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping as I'm writing my legacy that I'm not tied down to one thing. And ultimately, beyond anything, I want people to go, man, he was a dope person.
He was a
dude
person.
Was a good person. Dude made me feel a certain type of way.
He affected the community in a positive way.
And that's what I hope I can leave. The radio legacy is important. I'm grateful that I was able to be on the airways professionally for 8 years. You know, I ain't worked a 9-to-5, bro, since 2016. You know what I mean? I'm grateful that I haven't had to go back and into that space where I was beforehand. I took a risk, man. I quit a 9-to-5 job with benefits to go work in radio part-time. People don't know that. When I first got to where me and Ben worked at, I wasn't full-time. I didn't have a guaranteed contract. I quit a full-time job with benefits to pursue a dream because I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I can always get a job. I got a college degree. I can always find work, but I'm not always going to be in this space and this time to try to pursue something to see what's going to happen. I took that risk and I haven't looked back. And trust me, it's been plenty ups and downs. I done got laid off twice.
Yeah.
But I have no regrets about taking that leap of faith and going out there and betting on myself. I will bet on myself and trust in God every single time.
See, Promise, and that's the one thing I remember about you. Because, again, like I told y'all, Truth Nation, you know, Promise is a big brother of mine in this whole media thing. And I just remember talking to Promise one time. We was all at Bayshore Mall.
Town Center.
Yeah, the Town Center. We was at the Town Center. We working a remote. And I asked Promise, I was like, bro, what are you trying to get out of all of this? You know, what are you really trying to do? And you were like, you know what? After this radio thing is done, you know, I think I could, you know, go into acting. He's like, I think I could go ahead and be an actor. I was like, oh, for real? You really think you could do that after radio? You know? And then after just seeing, you know, your comedic chops, you know, on air, right? And then you transferring over into, you know, Funny on Sundays. You know, you still on that pursuit. And that's one of the things I respect about you.
Thank you
know? But it makes me think, you know, what would you like to see when it comes down to the content that is put out here when we're talking about the movies at the local level? You know, everybody calls them Tubi movies or whatever, but what would you like to see out there?
I was just, like I told Tori earlier before you got in here, man, I can never, you know, tell somebody what to do with their art, right? Because a person can create any type of art that they want, whether it's film, whether it's, you know, music, whether it is paintings or whatever. You create the art you want to create, right? I can't tell a person what to create. What I would say is for our city or just black people in general, I would just like us to have a balance, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at if you wanted to have street tales and you want to tell, you know, street movies, or if you want to do drama, or if you want whatever, you can make whatever content you want to make. But I would just like to see a balance, you know. Right. We all grew up with, you know, Minister Society and Juice and Boys in the Hood and things like that. But then also we got The Wood, we got Friday, we got to see other sides of the hood that wasn't always negative and it wasn't always death and murder. There was fun. Right. So I would just like to see more of a balance. Like, I'm not mad that you want to make, you know, because other ethnicities and other groups make, you don't necessarily, well, maybe they do, but I was gonna say Italians, you know, make movies like Godfather. Scarface, Godfather, all those movies, right? And that's seen as great cinema. And it's not critiqued as much as when in the black community we make certain type of quote-unquote our hood flicks. Mm-hmm. Theirs is seen as like great cinema. Right. And ours is seen like as, oh, here we go again. We got black people in the hood doing a... I would just say just a balance. Make whatever art you want to make, right?
But have a balance.
But I would just like to see a balance. So if we do have a gangster or a street flick, cool, okay? And the next one, maybe it is a comedy. The next one, maybe it is an inspirational film. The next one, maybe it is something thought-provoking or creative. Or maybe it is sci-fi. Or maybe it is, look at what Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler just did. Right. Or Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, try just different things. Because we all don't have to be put in a box. You might make a movie about space. You might make a documentary. Like, there's
just
a lot of different things.
Be creative with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I can't tell a person what to make with their art. Maybe you have a niche and you only want to make these type of movies. And, yeah. and that's your thing.
The Power Universe.
Yeah, right. Superhero films. I just think we have... We're so creative, and we're the most copied people on the earth.
I agree.
We're the most trendsetters. Right. So we can do whatever we want to do. But I would just like to see people pushing the envelope and trying more things with the art. But again, make whatever movie you want to make, because somebody might be critical of my comedy and my stand-up. Like, yeah. well, tell some other type of jokes. But my life is my life, and I'm making the jokes and the content that I think, you know, is tailored for me. So I can't tell somebody what kind of art to make. But to answer your question, I just wish we would have more of a variety.
Now, see, that's probably why you never put your stuff in a box. But I get that now.
Well, when we come back, we'll have more Pop Culture Report, Truth Nation, with Ben Jeremy.
It's amazing.
And we got Promise in studio this Friday. Truth Nation, stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yep, yep, she was a fairy. 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 With a fatty on my daddy. He wanna grab it, he wanna smack it, he wanna have it on my daddy. This smacking, she was a fairy. With a fatty.
1017 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show, Pop Culture Report. Brought to you by Benjamin.
It's amazing.
And we got Promise in studio.
Yes, sir.
And it, you know this song, It's a Fairy, is starting to catch on everywhere.
Yeah, she trending. She got
trending right now.
What's her name? Dolce is one of the most popular rappers out right now. Dolce just did a video dancing to it.
Oh, what though? That's cool.
Yeah, Dolce did something to it. Dolce said that's her favorite song out right now.
And also, it was like a girls' baseball league where the girl...
Yeah, like softball or something?
Yeah, it was like a softball league.
They did a dance to it.
Yeah, and the dugout and all that.
So it's catching on, like,
and I
want to
say
mainstream.
Some I don't know if it was some WNBA players might have did something to it too. No, it's trended. They just posted her on Hip Hop DX the other day too.
Mm. And that song is so creative. You, it sounds simple, but this is the stuff that you'll hear 10 years from now. People playing it.
She was a fairy. Yeah.
Hey
man.
Yep.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Now, but with that being said, though, Promise, what are you seeing when it comes down to, you know, the local music scene and how these artists are, you know, spawning out with their creativity?
You know, it's wide open right now, man. I think that you can make whatever type of music you want to make, and you just have to figure out who your target audience is and what you want to do with it. You know, you don't have to per se have a trend or a dance. You know, obviously that's popping with, you know, TikTok and Instagram or whatever. But as an artist, you don't have to see what success is working for others and try to replicate it. Mm-hmm. Right. You got to find what works for you. You know, you got Maya P doing that right now. You got with last year, you know, JP with right. Biddy and Frank, you know, them Eat Her Up was popping. And then now Steve early Stoner, this year, Steve the Stone, Downtown. Yeah. Right. So some people might go, oh, well, Milwaukee artists is popping right now with dances and trends. So maybe we need to, hey, that's working for them. Right. And I think those artists want to do that. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to try to do it to find a way to get that trend or to pop. Make what you believe is good music for you and find your audience. But yeah. I think there's a ton of talent in Milwaukee. Those artists I mentioned have gotten some national and some success here in the city. But there's other artists that maybe don't have as much notoriety that I think are talented and are doing dope things as well. Right. So I just think it's open right now. You can make whatever kind of music you want. There's not as many gates to block you or stop you. You know what I'm saying? You can put out your art. You can perform in more places. Summerfest gives more platforms now to artists to perform.
Right.
You know, beforehand, you didn't have as many looks. So with social media, with the radio, with the internet, with word of mouth, you can get out here and pop. And there's a lot of artists in the city doing big things.
And I think it's a formula now for Milwaukee.
I was about to say that, bro.
I see a formula that a yeah. lot of people are catching that algorithm. And since the algorithm for Milwaukee is set toward our unique dance styles,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that now that they're feeding the algorithm with those unique dance
sure.
styles.
Yeah, I would definitely second that, Tori. Because like when you talk about Steve the Stoner, 4-4 Big Frank, Maya P, one thing that all these rappers have in common is they all had a dance to go with their stuff, you know, and they just kept on putting it out there. Steve the Stoner, obviously, his dance went on to Kaisen Nye and then started to impact America in a major way. Yeah. But Maya P is doing the same thing, and that was one thing that 4-4 Big Frank did too. So, you know, you could be a lyrical rapper, but maybe you need somebody in that joint dancing, shaking that thing, you know what I'm saying?
But see,
shaking that mark.
Teaching people how to dance to your music.
I would disagree with that.
Okay.
Again,
okay.
Who are you targeting? Like, mm-hmm. make whatever
the break dancers.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying
the dance community.
I don't think you have to.
Not saying you have to.
No, the lane that they in
is a good sales strategy.
It works for them, though, but it has to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steve, nobody created a dance for Steve, yeah. right? Like his dance was his dance, and it went.
He was already an exotic dancer.
Yeah, I think when you force stuff, that's when people know it's not authentic, and then mm-hmm. that's when it won't work.
Yeah.
If you're going to have the next 20 people trying to replicate it, it's going to crash and burn. I'm going to tell you that
it's
right
gotta
now.
It got to be something that's authentic.
It's got to be authentic, and it got to be organic.
Well, if we're being honest here, Maya P is wearing a fairy costume in her thing. So is that genuine? I'm trying to be clickbait?
No, that's not what I mean. Like it goes with her aesthetic, her song.
Okay.
I'm saying if we sitting here trying to plot and plan to be like, yeah. let's make up the next dance wave. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not organic. Like okay. it has to naturally be something that people gravitate towards and they rock with.
All right.
If you try to force it, it's not going to work. That's really with anything. You don't even got to do music. You could take any type of business or any type of product. If it's forced on somebody, who wants it?
Speaking of business problems, we got to pay these bills.
Hey, look, when we come back, I thank you, Ben Jamin, for that Pop Culture Report. Thank you, Promise.
You taught him well, Promise.
For the Pop Culture Report. Hey, look, when we come back, Trip Nation, we have more conversations. They liked it right here on Tory Lowe.